Hey, it's Rob Unspach, and welcome back to another edition of eHeroes. This is episode 202, and for all you entrepreneurs at a crossroad, I brought on one of the, I would say, foremost experts on being a force of nature. So welcome, Michelle Malo, and thanks for being here.
Oh, man, I'm so thrilled. Thanks for having me. We pulled this together pretty quick, so I'm excited.
Yeah, you know, And for all the entrepreneurs out there, you know, Michelle got hacked, you know, and it's one of those things that most entrepreneurs are just going to rip their hair out and start punching the computer because, you know, you feel like you just got violated, you know, everything that you owned. But, you know, it's your mindset. It's that shift that you do that you said, you know what? I don't care. I'm moving forward. I don't care what this hacker does or, you know, did with my information. And you just continue to move forward and I congratulate you because you know most people would just say I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, I mean that's not an option for me at all because that's not how I'm wired. But I will say it was a little distressful when you wake up and you see you know your whole metaverse is just you know you've gone against community standards. And my first thought was, holy cow, did I wish too many happy birthdays? Because that's kind of
In my case, when it's their birthday, I unfriend them.
Oh, well, you know what? I'm not going to lie. If I actually do utilize that to go through my friends, it's because I'm always around 5,000, or at least I was, around 5,000. And if you're not active or if your page, you haven't touched it in a year or two, yeah. I'll be honest, I do the same thing. So I was glad to actually see that. Now, you have to have systems, right? To utilize the tools that you have to maximize the market that you're reaching and to make sure the people that are in your world make up your world that are fun and you enjoy and they, you know, it's all about the energy of what that is. Right. And some people are not happy.
I got put in detention block through Facebook because I said throat punch. And I said it in a very sarcastic manner, but I got reported or something and Facebook said, you can't post for the next 24 hours. Well, I got all these clients that are hooked up to my account.
So, yeah.
So none of their stuff posted either.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the unfairest thing ever. And you know, so now if I get punished, my clients are still getting posted because I have backups now.
Well, it's so funny you say that because I've been across a lot of the platforms, but I tended to lean more towards the Instagram, Facebook thing. Mm-hmm. And then it realized when all this went down, it's like, okay, what is this TikTok thing you speak of? Because it's not my realm. I had an account just tip of the trade. Always secure your name on all the different platforms so no one can take them. Just a little thing. So I was like, all right, well, I'll do that. And I've always been to help people with LinkedIn anyway. So I was like, you know what? All my corporate people, all my entrepreneurs, most of which are on LinkedIn. So it actually was a blessing. I try to look at everything that way, right? All the stuff that's happened. It's like, okay, now I refocus it. And now I'm going to do social with a little bit more intention, using the pillars, using all the stuff that I teach. But sometimes it's like, oh, man. You look at what you're doing and it's like, okay, now this is a good place for me to go. All right, now let's get this in order. Yeah. And it's fine.
And for me, it was never trying to be what someone else was doing. Because I tried that. I tried to post, you know, these nice things and I wanted everybody to say, hey, you know, Rob, wow, that just makes me feel all warm and fuzzy. That's not me. So, you know, I started sharing all these Rob versus stories and they're very sarcastic, you know, there's F you and this and that. And I would get a lot of great responses through Facebook and those and crickets on LinkedIn, but it took a while. I built up my LinkedIn base, over the last year. I think I added almost 3,000 fans or connections to LinkedIn.
Sure.
And, now people are starting to get more receptive to these stories because they're seeing them all the time. They're laughing, they're clicking, and I'm getting a lot of awesome followers from you know CEOs to you know big entertainment companies, and to me it's like wow, you know. So yeah, for me there was a shift, but it was intentional shift because I knew that I didn't want to be just like everyone else.
And you're not. And like I told, and I think folks are craving that more now too.
Right.
It's just like, we want to laugh. You know, I see people on LinkedIn, that's not appropriate for LinkedIn. That's not appropriate for this. Yeah. And I want to tell you, you know, something I've learned from my mentors is, you don't know, as an example, I'm doing, you know, What the Hell Wednesdays on mm-hmm. TikTok. Okay. You know, so kind of give you little tips and tricks when something comes up and you're like, are you serious right now? You know, what to do with that. But honestly, since I'm not on Meta, right? Because they're just going to shut down all my stuff. You know, I'm working through it. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea is if I'm in your group, or if the only way you're reaching out to me is that, I'm not seeing any of your stuff. Right. So you need to be, even though you might have to change the way you're delivering it, the same message needs to go across multiple platforms, because you don't know how people use social media. Mm-hmm. So that was something I always been grateful for. So now, okay, that shut down, but I am not completely shut down, because I have some of these other, you know, believe it or not, I'm like, Twitter doesn't hate me, you know, which, you know.
And the funny thing is I use a service called SocialBee. It's just one of the tools in my arsenal to, you know, and I put all the social posts in there, and I have them rotated through and posted at different times. So it looks like I'm everywhere.
Yes.
But what it's done is it's eliminated 20 hours a week from me being in front of the computer, and it's allowed me to do other things or make more money or, you know, whatever the thing is. But, you know, I'm not on TikTok. I'm not on Snapchat. I'm very rarely on Twitter, and people are like, what are you even on? And I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn, and sometimes I'm on Instagram and YouTube. And I,
oh yeah, they shut down my YouTube also.
And I took those because that's where 90% of my clients are.
Right.
You know, so I don't need to be everywhere. I just need to be where my clients are.
Yeah. 100%.
And once I understood that, it was a kind of a mind shift for me, because I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, if my clients aren't on Snapchat and I'm only trying to develop content for maybe 2% of the market, it doesn't even pay, you know, it's not worth the time for me to do this.
Oh no, I completely agree. It's all about where you're targeting your messaging and how you're talking to your, I hate the word, the avatar, right? But
yeah.
But it's just such buzzwordy, but you know, who do you want to play with, you know, mm-hmm. is kind of the thing, and who has the money to play with you?
Well, and the thing is, and one of the biggest, I think, you know, mind shifts for me was raising my prices.
Yes.
You know, because there's a lot of people who do things like I do, very similar. They don't do them in the manner I do them.
Right.
And so because of people say, hey Rob, I really need your help. Well, I have a minimum and it's X.
Right.
You know, and if you can't afford that, I can, you know, kind of refer you somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not going to get everything that you want from me.
That's right. And I learned from, as we were talking earlier about Steve Sims and whatnot. And he said, quit allowing people to pick your brain for free.
That's right.
Like, you have spent so much money and time for all the experience and all the education and blah, blah, blah. So I was, and I was guilty of this, because I want to help people. It's in my nature. I'm this empath, call it what you will. But that doesn't make you money, and that's not sustainable, because the idea is to have more time, to have more freedom. Mm-hmm. And if you're constantly giving away stuff, or like you said, doing social media for 20 hours, you're not free.
Right.
So I'm going to be launching my website here in a little bit. And I was so proud. I have a little tab at the top that says Meet for Coffee. And what that basically is a half hour consultation. So if you want to run a business idea, if you want me to look at your resume, You anything like that, I'll give you a half hour and I will give you legitimate business feedback on what you need. But you got to, before you can schedule it, you got to go through the PayPal link.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't keep doing that and giving away my intellectual property.
Right.
But I, you know, like I said, there's places I will always be of service, but there has to be a boundary.
Right.
Of what you're going to do.
And it seems like every pitch on Facebook or LinkedIn for new connections is, hey, can I give you a free Zoom meeting or a free call, or let's chat about this? I'm like, dude, if I took up everybody's offer,
yes,
I wouldn't get anything done. So, you know, I even say, hey, look, if you want to meet you know, on Zoom and tell me all about your product and service, I'm going to charge you $1,000 for the first half hour.
Right.
And nobody does it.
Well, yeah. And it's so funny too. Do you have 15 minutes today?
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, if I had 15 minutes to chat with the, I can't tell you how many things I get in LinkedIn. I wouldn't be a good business person because I'd have too much time on my hands. Right. So no, I don't have 15 minutes today to hear about your SEO or your lead generation guaranteed, how many tens of thousands of dollars a month.
And you know, here's the thing is that for me, I've developed this business and this model that the way I do things over the last 20 years. It's kind of my evolution of how I do things.
Sure.
And it's you know, I don't give a crap. I'm very sarcastic. You either take it or leave it.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't play games. So if someone says, Rob, you know, I'm not happy with the service. Good. You're gone. I don't argue. I don't get on my hands and knees and pray you come back. You're gone. It's just, I have enough business and I don't have to do that, you know, grovel. To me, that's awful. But anyway.
I agree.
You know, you have people groveling on your social networks constantly for your time.
Yes.
You know, eliminate all that. Eliminate the distractions. Charge people, and you're gonna live life so much happier.
That's it. Yeah, because I'll tell you, there's been moments, and just in the last month, it's like I think I have to fire this client, and. Mm-hmm. Because it just wasn't working out. And they walked themselves. So sometimes, you know, and I wish them the best of luck.
Right.
You know, but in a way it worked itself out because they weren't the right fit. And, yeah. And the thing is sometimes you got to follow your gut. I kind of knew I was changing how I do things mm-hmm. to fit what they were looking for. But in the end, if I'm not doing what I'm really good at, right. It's not a fit for anybody. So that's a little bit of a lesson learned, but also realizing don't waste the time when you realize that it's just not a good fit for either party. And that's a good way. It's like they say, it's just business, right?
Right. And the thing is that you can be friends with people.
Of course.
And you can give them deals, but you have to value your own time. Right. And you know, I had somebody say, hey, you know, Rob, I've known you for a long time. Can you give us a deal? And I said, look, I know you're struggling. I'd be happy to give you a deal, but it's not going to be free.
Right.
You have to put some money into it because I want you to be accountable. And they said, no, we want you to do it for free. Not what? You know, I don't deal with that. I just tell people, you know, look, go somewhere else. I'm not the guy for you.
Well, you wouldn't walk into your hairdresser or your barber and say, yeah, I'm kind of struggling. Can you cut my hair for free? Or if you're a handyman, you've got skills that you've learned. And there's a reason why you can't fix something. Mm-hmm. So don't go in and go, oh my gosh, you know, $60 is expensive. Well, are you going to fix the toilet? Are you going to hang that shelf? I've been doing it for 30 plus years, you know, or wow, how much photography? Well, do you want correct lighting? Do you want to look like you're a go? I mean, what is your end game? Quit dumbing down people who have spent their lives perfecting a trade, a skill set, whatever that is, and pay for what their time is because you would expect them to do that for you. So it's that mutual respect. Of what that is. And of course you're human and you want to help folks where you can, but don't fall into the trap. And I say that because I did. I'm the most honest person you'll meet. Yes, I did that. Yes, mm-hmm. I did it for a long time. That's a mindset thing. But that was when I was younger, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm done.
Well, no, we can be honest with people and we can be generous and you know, we can even give people deals.
Of course. Yeah,
but we do it on our terms.
That's right.
And I think as entrepreneurs, in order to kind of be that force of nature in what we do and have the authority and the credibility, we have to play by our own rules, not somebody else's, you know, and like Steve Sims, you know, he has this awesome, you know, service that, you know, he built the whole thing on, and it was called Blue Fishing and the art of making things happen. So anybody came up to Steve and said, hey, Steve, I want to dine at the foot of David in Italy. We're in Florence.
Yeah.
but I only have $2,000.
Right.
People are gonna, Steve's gonna go away. No.
That's right.
You know, he only caters to the affluent, the people that have money, because he knows that, you know, for X amount of dollars, he can deliver, you know, something that they're going to value forever. You know,
it's special. You're paying for that, the extra. Right. You know, a lot of people say they're like, you're very extra. I said, definitely extra. And I will own that. Yeah. I come in the room, like you said, people call me a force of nature because I kind of come in like a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. You know when I'm in the room. So it's just kind of one of those things. But that's why, like, Steve is there. I'm rebranding and all that, because as we talked about a little bit before we got on, is, you know, things have changed.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Yeah. You have all the tools. You just have to reposition them and rethink about them and then put them out there maybe in a little different light, because it's just like changing market trends. Right. And that is why, like, it's taken me, I'll be honest, a long time to get the website, because I started it long. Steve made fun of me. He goes, I think you hold the record for the longest it took to do a website. I said, because everything was changing so much within my business. Right. If I had pulled the trigger to finish it, it wouldn't have been right. And right. I would have had to
bring it. And here's my philosophy. And you know, people can look at me silly, it doesn't matter. But here's the thing, is that as entrepreneurs, we always evolve.
That's
and so if a service that we're offering a couple of years ago is no longer relevant today, we change and we adapt. But I know some entrepreneurs that are still trying to force themselves to do things that weren't really profitable 5 years ago, and they're still doing it now. And then they're doing other things, and then they're trying to sell crypto and this and that. And so you look at them and go, what the hell are you doing? You're diluting your own brand and creating consumer confusion, and no wonder you don't have any money. So
yeah, because the confused mind never buys.
Right.
And the other thing too is, we talked about time, it all comes back, right? If you're not focused on one thing, and you're selling, not only do people not know who you are, what you do, but they also, you don't have time and you get nothing done because you're just so scattered and all over the place. And that does come across.
Right.
So yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know that I'm looking at, you know, your older websites, and Steve's going to do a wonderful job. And I've worked with Steve before. He just, the websites are just fantastic.
I agree.
And, you know, that's one thing about Steve. He, you know, you look at him and you're like, man, he's kind of a biker dude. He's kind of, you know, intimidating, but really he cares so much about, you know, yourself and making sure that your business is profitable, that I know that you're going to walk away with a website that's going to do, you know, justice for you and get you lots of clients. And that's the goal, is I think to empower ourselves to know that we have this awesome story.
That's right.
And we can change someone else's life if they were patient enough to listen.
That's
I think that's the problem right now, is that COVID changed the rules, and the entrepreneurs that are busy are busy because of the fact that, you know, they marketed themselves way before the pandemic, and people got an idea of who they were, how they could help, how they can make them feel safe. And the other ones are just they never did that. So now they're trying to juggle and throw stuff at the wall to see what sticks. And that's not how to be a force of nature.
No, I mean, and that was the whole key. Like, again, I was speaking and all that, all before doing business consulting, things like that. But when all this hit and stopped, it's like, what all of a sudden gave me joy? Because where the need became is, I'm a marketer by trade. I mean, that's what I did at Kraft and Barilla and, you know, all those food companies. And did that for year for, you know, almost 20 years. So I'm a marketer by trade.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't you help folks that got the rug pulled if they lost their job? And a lot of people were really, I have grown men in just a mess because they haven't looked for a job in 30 years.
Right.
They're the breadwinners. They got kids in college. And they're like, I don't even know how to interview. So the fact that I could retool what I could offer, not only to take a resume that maybe was updated in the 90s, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And
that was the last time I updated my resume was in the 90s. I've been an entrepreneur since 1995.
Well, that's just it. And our folks have been, it's a way to take a look at it and say, well, first and foremost, if you haven't done that, the people in the corporate world, and to actually sit down and write down everything you've done, especially if it's been quite a long time, you realize that you're a rock star. That is my whole goal. Not only to A, help you find a job or help you decide to become an entrepreneur or start that business or side hustle or whatever it is, but I want you to feel better. Like when we get off the phone or we get off the Zoom, I want you to feel like you have hope, you have direction, and here's the next steps. Right. And you haven't lost anything. It's just an opportunity to do something that you've always wanted to do. This is the opportunity. This is the gift. Mm-hmm. So you can either not get out of bed, or you can take this, partner with people who can help you, and that can be friends and family, whatever it is, get you up and lets you get you something that all of a sudden you realize, wow, what a blessing that was.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that everybody always asks me, what's my secret to success? I got out of bed. Right. And they're like, I mean, that's it? That's what you did? You know, and they expect some magic, you know, bullet or magic, you know, bean. And I'm like, no, in order to start your day and get motivated, you got to get out of bed.
Yeah, step you know, one, right?
That's step one. Step two, put some clothes on because nobody wants to see that. But
yeah, we've seen that because we have seen that on Zoom here and there. So that's a whole other story. Yeah. But then also the key to it is who you hang out with, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the network. And that's part of why I am part of Steve's Speakeasy. I'm part of Greg Reed's Secret Knock. I'm part, you know, a lot of local stuff here in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Because now, some of the groups in my past, I wasn't thrilled I was a part of because there are scammers in this area, a lot of them. And I always tell folks, make sure you're not making an emotional decision when it comes to money, because they will keep taking you for that and not give you any results.
Well, one of the things I think that most entrepreneurs find confusing, maybe, is joining the wrong network. You know, and you know, I think the BNIs of the world are fine to a point. Mm-hmm. The problem is that most people who join BNI or any of those referral type networks are only there for referrals.
That's right.
You know, and they force, you know, themselves to give somebody a referral just so that they could, you know, feel happy about themselves at this meeting. To me, that's the poorest way to develop, you know. Go to a high end, you know, speakeasy like or a network like Speakeasy, because you're going to find people that are probably doing better than you, mm-hmm. that have ideas that you never thought of.
That's right.
And it's not just about referrals. It's about the marketing. It's about, you know, everything else that you can do. And you know, I've gone into these things where I didn't anticipate getting referrals because I'm there to learn.
Right.
But because, you know, of who I am and I talk to people and I'm sarcastic and, you know, I just, you know, develop friendships with people.
It is. It's all about relationship building. Right. And that takes a hot minute. Right. I've had folks that I've met 2-3 years ago that now they're ready because they need what I, and that's why you have to always kind of be out there,
right.
You know, even though everything went virtual, still be on the virtual meetings, show up to these things. And the other thing too is, you know, being a marketing person or what or operations, whatever you're doing, these groups and these networks, it's about other industries. You can learn so much from the financial industry and from real estate. It's about understanding because business is business. And the way they think about it can definitely be transferable into your business. Mm-hmm. So networking, you know, I've been in a couple different books, like The Art of Connection and one with Greg Reed, Power of Proximity, because it's a common theme of just talk to people. Mm-hmm. You never know who's sitting next to you. You know, at one of the speakeasy, actually, I met, do you know Tab and Catherine Pierce?
Yes.
They, yes. So they were, and it was the first time I had met them, it was the first time I went to a speakeasy, And I sat next to Catherine and didn't, and as we see, you know, you start to talk to folks, didn't realize that she's a recruiter in the cyberspace. Mm-hmm. Well, I help people do career transitions. I mean, if I had just sat there and took notes and not talked to get to know them, I wouldn't have that connection. And B, they ended up moving to Phoenix too and opened up Networking Phoenix. And now I help them and they become really dear friends. So it's a crazy way that one decision to go to something can turn into lifelong friends, business partners, all of it. And yeah, I agree with you on the BNIs, because even though, and those referrals, it's like, it's a quota.
Yeah.
And then almost none of those referrals are they're all cold and they're just.
Yeah. And you know, they don't end up being long-term clients because, you know, they're like, oh, okay. Yeah. I know Bob. He's a nice guy. Okay. I'll use you. But you know, it to me, it felt weird, and it there was no authenticity there. Helpful. And it was like, they always look down at, oh, you're the new guy because you just started. Dude, I've been in business 20 years. I can outmarket you. But it's not about that. It's about building the relationship the right way.
That's right.
So I don't have to look like I'm marketing.
Yeah, you don't want to. I want folks to call me because they, like, I remember meeting you. And like I said, I love that. That is one of the best things that comes out of when we talk to us, like, and how did we meet each other? You know, and then you go back, it's like, oh, I met this other woman. Oh, you were at Allison's event. Oh, that was up in Utah. And then she introduces me to someone. It's kind of like, and so on. I'm going to date myself and so on and so on. And that's how you very authentically grow a nurturing network that helps continue the business and grows with you. Mm-hmm. As you meet and get introduced to new people, because sometimes folks are in your life, like you say, for a season or for a lifetime. Either way, I feel happy to have known you because you've added something, whether I know never to talk to you again because you're creepy, or which is, I'm teasing, but or it's the fact of I learned something from you, or you're just good people and I'm glad, right, you know, to have talked to you.
So and if you are a struggling entrepreneur and you don't have money to do networking or, you know, go to, you know, great events like Steve Sims Speakeasy or, you know, create a podcast just like this one where you interview brilliant people because you will learn stuff. And after a while you become comfortable like me and you can throw your arms up and do all kinds of fun stuff and you feel confident, you know. This is, like I said, this is episode 202. I didn't feel this confident 4 years ago. I mean, it was still me. It was just, but you have to develop, you know, something that it takes time. So absolutely, whether your business is just starting or you've been in business for a while, you have to give people some value. And while at the same time learning how to, you know, rebrand yourself, remarket, you know, do the things that you didn't think you could do or should do, but you got to be doing them.
No, I totally agree. And if you even don't want to commit to a podcast, do lives. You know, those don't cost, and it helps you get comfortable in front of the camera.
Right.
It helps get some engagement from folks. It helps you to really streamline your message. And you never know what people are going to connect with you on.
Right.
You mean, you don't want to always hammer people. You don't want to be the Mary Kay lady, right? Where everyone's got, whatever skin is my target market. And all you do is hammer home lipstick and eyeshadow. What you want to do is if you love, like I ride Harley. Okay. I love baseball. You know, I'm divorced, you know, and I had to get through that after 20, you know, there's a lot of different things, you know, I work in the domestic violence area with, you know, there's a lot of different things that you can talk on that can connect you with people that need to hear that. It's not always about trying to sell someone something. It's about the brand is about the things that you stand for, the things that you love. Mm-hmm. And because I guarantee you, you'll have other folks that love that too and want to chat about it, or with something that you can help them with. You know, if you're the cupcake lady, you know. Yeah.
And so when you're posting on social media, yeah, you do what Michelle says. You know, you post about your adventures on your motorcycle or helping, you know, some charity of or cause or you know, you don't always hammer somebody with, hey, buy my product. or, you know, go to this link or do this.
Come to my event.
You give people a way that they can bond with you that's not business related, so that when they need your service, you're the first one they trust because, oh, yeah, you know, he rides motorcycle and you know, I know that he does this other stuff, but I trust him because, you know, we see eye to eye on this certain subject.
That's right. I mean, I can't even tell you how many folks I've met because I also have a Wrangler, like I have a Jeep, and there's all these Jeep groups. So I'm part of things like that. And I will do, you know, the Big Red, because that's the name of my Jeep. Because if you're a Jeep person, you name your Jeep. It's a weird cult. But anyhow, so you put that stuff out there.
I had a few Jeeps Liberty. Oh,
I love Jeeps. I mean, they're so fun, but people relate and you talk different things. We're Route 66 nerds. We were on California and the Big Roy sign, which is a historic hotel, right? Mm-hmm. And my red Jeep happened to be underneath it. And it was this like ray of sunshine through the sign, like hitting, it's kind of like a Blues Brothers moment. Sorry, again, dating myself of it must be a message from God. You know, I was meant to buy that Jeep, but it's that fun. It's the humor. I mean, that's why I told you you're one of my favorite people on LinkedIn last week, because I enjoy your sarcasm. That's something I relate to. So I encourage everyone, you know, be you. Be that brand. I mean, a brand isn't something you create. A brand is what happens when other people talk about you. Mm-hmm. That is what your brand is when you're not in the room, right?
Yeah, so, and allow your personality to shine, because, you know, none of you, well, I can't say none, but 99% of you, you know, are human, you know, so have a personality. You're not a Vulcan, you know, you don't have to bottle that all up.
That's right.
But, you know, it's, I get so many clients and they'll say, I can't do that. My coach said, I can't have my personality come forth. You know what? Then nobody's going to like you.
No, it comes off very staged, mm-hmm. and cold. And that's the last thing, especially because, again, I go back to the world and, you know, all of it that's happening right now. It's bizarro world right now, right? I feel like I'm in a Seinfeld episode. It's like, what is going on here? But you have to just embrace the fact that, I'm sorry, whatever coach told you that, get rid of them, because I want to hire someone who's a person. I have a client right now that we're taking a product, it's a restaurateur, taking a product to commercialization, right? Go to market, all of that. She is one of my favorite people on the planet. So yes, she's a client, but I love her. Like, and we have fun with it. And why is this product going to be a success? Because she owns it and we own it together and we're having fun with it. So that's why what you want people to say about you is, you know, this working relationship is amazing, not because I tell you A, B, C, D, but we do A, B, C, D together. However, that those, you know, personalities mesh. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's not real good advice. I can't understand. Don't show your personality. What?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about that forever. Like, someone shouldn't be coaching.
it's crazy because, you know, without personality, your brand really doesn't exist.
No. You know? I mean, they talk about brand personality all the time. And that's even corporations. Every corporation has a personality, has a feeling to it. You know, when I worked for Kellogg's, it was all about Tony the Tiger and the fun, and it was, you know, whimsical and things like that. But when I worked for Barilla, it was all about the essence of Italy and the you know. So that's definitely a shift, but it's a personality. It's this romanticized type of product, mm-hmm. whereas the other is more of a cartoon, colorful, you know, reminds you of your childhood kind of thing. So why, if companies can do that, individuals, it's so much easier because everyone, and if you don't have a personality, that's not true. If you're an introvert and you don't feel, you do. And there's a lot of people who like to keep to themselves and they like to read and they're very analytical. You know, obviously I'm not like that, but I have a lot of friends and a lot of coaches who are, and that's who you find. And that's personality. There's nothing wrong with that. That's being you.
Yeah. So how do people find you? Where do they go?
Yeah, you can find, well, not on Facebook right now. I'm sorry.
Your business page is on Facebook still.
Yeah. It's at Michelle Lee Malo. You can find that on LinkedIn. You can find that on, like I said, TikTok. It's on Twitter, but that'll also be my website. That's going to be coming up here in just a couple of weeks. So
what was that again?
It's Michelle Lee Malo, one L Michelle. And that's kind of where I hang out underneath.
Yeah, if you put two L's, you're not going to find it.
You're not going to find it. Even though I did buy that URL and redirected it. So just in case, you got to think of the different stipulations. But and also, you don't want anyone to ever steal your name. So again, you got a platform.
They can have my name.
They can have yours. I don't know about that. Oh, this has been so fun. Thank you.
Any last words of wisdom that you want to give to the audience?
Yeah, honestly, it's going to be all right. Honestly, it's going to be all right. Like we said, step one, get out of bed. Step two, be grateful. Mm-hmm. And just surround yourself with people that support you, love you, but more than anything, believe in yourself and just go do it.
Yeah. And you will fail.
Oh gosh. Yeah. You've mm-hmm. failed forward.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many things that I've done over the last 30 years. Some were successful, some were failures, and some that I spent a lot of time because I thought, hey, this is going to work. And it didn't. I accepted it. I moved on. I didn't dwell on it. I didn't cry about it. I just, it didn't work. Let's go.
But if it doesn't work, don't stay there too long.
Right.
That's the other thing. You know, don't keep trying to don't be married to the idea. Be married to the great results and make sure that you change. And with the market, with how you evolve, how your people you want to play with evolves. Because if you stay here, because you're in love with your idea, you're going to stay here. And that's not happiness and that's not freedom.
Yeah. And I've noticed that over the last few years, my clients are getting better. And not only better in the sense that they're paying me more, but better mm-hmm. that they don't question everything that I'm doing, that they refer me out to other people that are just like them. You know, that they just say, hey, Rob, here's the keys to my kingdom. Have at it.
Yes.
You know, and those are the types of clients that you really want. You don't want people to babysit you, look over your shoulder, ask you what you're doing, and then, you know, hey, can I get a cheaper price because I'm here? Get rid of those clients.
Sounds like you might as well work for corporate if you're doing that. I mean, someone looking over your shoulder, telling you how much your budget is. Yeah.
Oh, I would not make it in corporate anymore. Not the way I am now. Not the way I can make money. Right. You know, that was a time when I was in my 20s, and I was at this one job, and I was every single month winning the salesman award, and the boss comes to me, he goes, "Yeah, you're winning too much, so we're not going to give you the bonus this month." And, you know, we want you to let other people to win. I'm out of here. And I quit.
Yeah.
And so you want the other people to win? Now's their chance. They can do it. And mm-hmm. and that's when I started my own business and competed against them for about 20 years. And at the same time, I developed my coaching and consulting and then sold that business. And now I'm so far ahead of where I was. And I love the space I'm in and I love the people that I work with.
And that's all you can ask for. Cause I know I was brought up in a family that it was cutthroat. They didn't let the kids win. You know what I mean? You had to win by your own merits and by your own strategies and playing the game the right way.
Right.
And that's how I was raised. So to hear that story.
Yeah. Now everybody gets a participation award. Well, no.
Yeah.
If you're an entrepreneur, the only awards that you're going to get are the ones that you earn.
That's right. Yeah, that's it. Because I'm sitting in my, first of all, my house, right? And you could shift it. You can change it. If I decide I'm done, I can turn it off. But then there'll be the nights that it's, you know, an all-nighter or I've got to figure something out, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's not, again, it comes down to freedom and time and on your terms. And I wouldn't change it for the world. So, and you get to hang out with good folks like you, Mr. Sarcasm. I dig
That's right. Yeah. And maybe one day you'll get to see the TV show based on the books.
I hope so. It's going to happen. Putting it out there.
Yeah, it's scripts are being written, and I think it'll be cool when it happens.
I agree.
I'm not an actor, so they got to find someone that's going to play me. Good luck with that, but we'll see. I'm sure there's somebody out there. Oh, do I have to pay that Rob Anspach guy? No, I can't do it. Somebody will.
That's right.
Anyway, I want to thank everyone for being here, for listening, and go to Michelle's website. That is what? Michelle Lee
Malo. MichelleLeeMalo.com. Yep. MichelleLeeMalo. Easy for me to say .com when I'm
and
Michelle.
It's her name and she can't say it.
I'm telling you, it's because I'm just so amped up from this. So,
that's right. So MichelleLeeMalo.com. And you can always reach me at OnSpockMedia.com, and we'll see you guys on the next episode. Adios.
Bye-bye.